I want to talk about Jägermeister. Dad, what do you know about Jägermeister?
I mean, well, really, all I know, it's got a really awesome stag logo. What else do I need to know about Jägermeister?
Well, you should know that you've been drinking it all wrong this entire time.
Damn, that's cold. There's a right and wrong way to drink it?
Yes, there is, Dad. You should be drinking it ice cold, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact.
Well, you know what? That explains a lot. I've just been pulling it straight off the shelf.
Oh, Dad, I'm so glad I got to you in time. No, that is entirely wrong. The only way to serve Jägermeister is ice cold. So wherever you're at, if you're hanging out with friends, or you're at the bar, or you're helping your dear sweet father try and get right, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York. Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
My man.
How's everybody doing, man? You guys fired up?
Hey, fired up, coach. Ready to go.
We're going to go do this damn thing together. Can't wait to get you here.
Let's go do it, coach. Thank you so much for believing in me. I promise I won't let you down.
Those are the sights and sounds of Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell welcoming in new quarterback J.J. McCarthy from Michigan at the 10th overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Excited to go and do this thing together.
At least J.J. doesn't have to give the speech to recruits at Michigan to Minnesota guys by saying, hey, if you're coming here to party, don't. I mean, now he's going with a bunch of professionals. So it's
well, I mean, a different and if you game. Try and tell a bunch of professionals, hey, don't party or go chase girls, they'll probably tell you to shut the hell up,
rookie, and go
carry somebody's pads now. Yeah. But if they're going to do it together, then so are we as we get through hour number two here at Gojo and Golic. Delighted to bring in our buddy, Fox Sports NFC North reporter Carmen Battali. Kind enough to join us now, coming off a night where, Carmen, you guys, the busiest division in football, I think, especially at the top of this draft. So I'll give you dealer's choice. In the division you cover, the biggest headline coming off night one of the draft is what?
Bears did another good? Or it's the two trade-ups from Minnesota, because it was not one but two. That was also I was busy last night, guys. I was very busy.
It's a lot going on in that division. But Carmen, you start off with the Bears doing another good. This whole Bears offseason seems to have been a continuation off last year. How big a home run is this for Ryan Poles and company here to not only secure what looks like their quarterback of the future, but wide receiver one as well?
It seems like this is Caleb Williams' built-in bestie now, is now Roma Dunze. The way that he snuck up on him as soon as Rome was doing his whatever post-draft thing in the green room, you see like Caleb creeping and he pulls out the curtain. Apparently these guys have already had a throwing session with Keenan Allen and TJ Moore because there's no rules and there was no mystery at the end of the day as to who the Bears were taking with number one. I'm proud of them for going out and getting another offensive weapon that, like you said, is going to be one of the receivers of the future. And now this iteration of the Chicago Bears with all this offensive firepower, I don't know her. I've never seen this before growing up in Chicago. I'm proud. I'm so proud of them.
As we were saying earlier, Justin Fields has to be in Pittsburgh going, what the hell's going on? I mean, I come there where the cupboards are bare, and all of a sudden Caleb Williams has everybody bear. In the world. What's that?
Cupboards are bare.
Very, very well done.
I'm so sorry.
So that went
why
about.
Why is Mike the one? Why is Junior the one making the dad jokes, Senior?
I know.
Yeah. I've slowly becoming dad.
It's amazing. All Christ. My kids mock me for these, yet they all start to sound like me. Yeah.
My hand was twitching over here.
That's a serious form of flattery.
There you go. So, I mean, it really went as scripted for Chicago. Caleb won and Rome was there at 9 for him. For Minnesota, they don't have to go up to 5 to get JJ. They go one spot. But then they trade 23-17. And they give up a few picks to get Dallas Turner. Is there a thought that they gave up too much for this?
When you think about it, like the haul they gave up, And then you think about the players that they got. I mean, between J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, these are two top 10 players. Also, you thought you were going to have to give up next year's one to go up and get your quarterback. And I'm not so sure that they wouldn't have done that had the Patriots been a little more amenable to fixing their franchise instead of just taking the shiny new toy. But that's the conversation for another time. This, when you get two blue chip starters like this that are going to, you know, be cornerstones on your team for years and years to come, I'm totally okay with what they gave up. You didn't give up a ton more this year, but you're obviously not going to be very at all active today on Friday. But Dallas Turner opposite Jonathan Greenard in a Brian Flores defense, this is more than Brian Flores has ever had on the edge in his time as a coordinator or a head coach. His scheme is creative out of necessity, and now he's pairing it with some real talent that's going to force some offensive lines to make a lot of tough decisions.
Yeah, legitimate pass rush juice for Brian Flores. Certainly great on that side. Carmen, for J.J. McCarthy on the other side, this has been a pick that a lot of people have been forecasting for a while in the lead up to the draft right now. Some folks like myself have questions about J.J. McCarthy's transition to the next level. From what you've heard and the people you've talked to, why was Minnesota so smitten with this quarterback, and why do they believe so much that he can be the guy for Kevin O'Connell?
Honestly, I think it's the biggest testament to Kevin O'Connell that this is who they drafted, because he is a developmental guy. You have Sam Darnold, you're paying him $10 million to come in, and you want him to play some meaningful games and snaps for you. The talent on this roster has insulated against you having to start J.J. McCarthy right away. And if J.J. McCarthy is going to be an NFL quarterback, he could not have asked for a better situation than Minnesota, between Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, a good offensive line, and then again, this defense that could be a top five unit this season. You don't have to rush him along. Not to mention, Kevin O'Connell is a former quarterback. Josh McCown is a former quarterback who is their quarterback's coach. This is telling Kevin O'Connell, hey, we believe in you. We trust you. We've seen you. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. Very underrated. Go out and make this guy who you think he can be. And we're going to trust you to do that and lead us into the future with a guy that we didn't end up having to give up that much to get.
So while Caleb Williams is going to take snap one as the starter, is the thought process that J.J. will be the starter day one, or maybe Sam will bridge it for a bit?
I am fully under the impression that Sam Darnold is going to start this season for the Minnesota Vikings, unless, you know, J.J. McCarthy gets into training camp and he just blows everybody out of the water. But given his lack of experience literally throwing the football at Michigan, I don't think that you're going to want to rush that development along again, and you're set up not to. So Sam Darnold, you can call me right now. He's going to be the week one starter for the Minnesota Vikings. He probably is going to be the week two, week three, week four starter. But again, this team can insulate against, you know, normal quarterback play. You don't need your quarterback to be a world beater when you have that much talent on the offensive side of the ball, especially plus a signal caller in Kevin O'Connell that we saw play live action Madden last year with a roster of backups just in their headset telling him, dude, look at this, do this. This is your read. Go here. Blah, blah, blah. It was incredible to watch, and they can stay afloat for a while.
He's got some of that Sean McVay puppet master feel to him, certainly there, getting in the ear of his quarterbacks as this season went along. Carmen, as we look at the top half of this division, because we talked about the teams that were in the cellar last year, the Detroit Lions, your reigning division champions here, and the Green Bay Packers made up a ton of ground. Of these two teams here, was there a pick that you thought was a better fit right now, a player that'll be able to help them more immediately between the Green Bay Packers, who took Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle out of Arizona, and the Detroit Lions, who traded up with the Cowboys to get Terrion Arnold, the defensive back out of Alabama?
Yeah, listen, the Packers are testing my patience here. I went to Arizona State as an undergrad. It's going to be hard for me to accept an Arizona Wildcat. But what the Green Bay Packers are going to do is find the best five in front of Jordan Love. And come hell or high water, they're going to have it. They have all these versatile linemen, which is insane. So I can't say that's the best fit, because I don't know where Jordan Morgan fits, because I don't know where any of those guys are fitting right now. We're going to see. I really, really love the Lions being aggressive and going up and getting Terrion Arnold, because corner was by far and away their biggest need. And you've seen Brad Holmes kind of take best player available up until this point. And I was really wondering if his draft strategy was going to change a little bit now that there's not a whole lot of holes on this roster. And they were one game away from the Super Bowl this past season. The one glaring mark on the Lions both last year and the year before has been their defensive secondary. They cannot keep guys healthy. They cannot keep guys on the field. I really commend the Detroit Lions for Cam Sutton gets arrested for domestic violence. He's released. They don't wait for the process to play out. They say, we don't want that in our locker room, and they get rid of him. They go and trade for Carlton Davis, but now they went out and got another guy that's going to help in that rotation. Not to mention, I think Terrion Arnold has some position flexibility. He can kind of kick inside at that nickel spot. You're going to have a versatile defensive back from Bama. Stop me if this sounds really familiar. I just think it fits so incredibly well in Detroit. I'm glad that Brad Holmes went up and got their guy. I know that I talked to a couple of coaches over there last night. They're very excited to see what he can do. He was the top of their list when it comes to defensive backs for this Detroit Lions defense.
Yeah, Dan, if the Washington Commanders at one time had an Alabama defensive line kink, I think we're seeing Brad Holmes and the Detroit Lions have a little bit of an Alabama defensive back kink. So not here to kink shame anybody here. Seems to work out very well for them. So let that freak flag fly.
And as far as all the teams, we sit there and look at immediate impact. It could be the Vikings that have the least amount of that. As Carmen said, she expects Sam Darnold to start right away. Dallas Turner, an edge rusher you can spot play. And whether he becomes a full-time starter or not, you can put him in pass-rushing situations where Caleb Williams is going to be out of the gate the starter, or Adunze will be on the field all the time. O-linemen, if they're starters, they're in for every play of the game. And then, obviously, Terrion Arnold, if you get a cornerback that's going to stick, he's going to be out there all the time as well. Carmen, I'm wondering, you mentioned your time in Chicago. I'm wondering your thoughts, and I've said this as a player, I always like playing in colder weather, so I was a little bummed Chicago's new stadium is going to be domed. What's your thoughts on that?
As someone who, I think the last Bears game I was at as a fan, it was a Monday night game against the Dallas Cowboys in 2013. It was 7 degrees below zero, senior. I do not want to sit there with hand warmers everywhere on my body. And I know that players don't want to play in that. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care if it's the Midwest. I don't care if it's the Chicago Bears. No one wants to play in that. And that affects the free agents you can recruit. That affects everybody's overall demeanor in a locker room. Good God. I'm happy that hopefully this ends up getting done. They have the dome, not to mention that opens Chicago up to the possibility of hosting a Super Bowl. And I would love nothing more. It's my favorite city in the world. I know I'm biased. I grew up there, yada, yada, yada. But opening that city up to the NFL community to host a Super Bowl, or to bring the draft even back there where you can kind of have something in this giant stadium that's temperature controlled, because you never know what Chicago is like in April. I love it. I really do. I get the history of everything with Lambeau, but like, let the Packers stay up there and freeze, because I like the dome. It looks cool.
The only thing I'll say is, while it's great for the city because you can do year-round things there, home field advantage, if you could get the Bears in the playoffs. You look when Miami went to Kansas City. I go back to when I was in the league and my brother was. The Raiders went to Buffalo to play in a playoff game. You can tick off, example after example of warm teams going to cold places and having to play.
Don't we also have fans that were getting frostbite last year at the Chiefs game or whatever?
Those are people who don't wear shirts. Amputated limbs.
Right.
Like, some of them had amputated limbs.
Like, we probably need to avoid that in some of these places that are a little bit more frigid, Carm.
Also, I was with the Buccaneers when they went to the Super Bowl, and guess who they beat in the NFC Championship at their place?
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers. They went up to Lambeau. It was like 20 degrees. It ended up, it was a 4 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. kickoff. Whatever it was, everybody was cold. The guys were cold. They're not used to that, but guess what? They beat the Packers anyway.
They did.
The Super Bowl.
Very true.
They did do them things. Okay. You know what? Instead of all this cold, Carmen, why don't you take a break, enjoy some time, maybe go over and visit the Rams draft house, since that looks to be the total opposite of what we're talking about here, this beautiful beachside palatial estate.
No, all I want to do is just like lounge by the pool. Can I go do that? I don't want to do any work over there.
There you go. Well, you know what, Carmen? Do that. We know you've had a busy day one of the NFL draft, the weekend just getting started. We thank you so much for your time, as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of a busy weekend in what has been the title division of the draft so far.
Have me, guys.
Awesome. Thank you. Again, Carmi Vitale, you guys can check her at Carmi V on Twitter, covering the NFC North over at Fox Sports, doing a great job.
I love the last thing you mentioned. The LA Rams are the only team since 2021 that has not had a draft headquarters at their facility.
Oh, yeah.
They go somewhere else to do it, and they were in a 9,000 square foot mansion.
First time they picked in the first round since what, Vietnam at this point? Hey. Like, I mean, they go
it's
up there
while.
And they get Jared Verse at edge rusher there. So good pick for them in the first round, certainly, as we look ahead at that. So awesome stuff there. Dad, coming off of looking at this and looking at that NFC North in particular, we'll take a look at some more draft grades with Matt Miller, who's going to join us from ESPN in about 5 minutes here as well. But the first round defined by a few things. We talked about the quarterback, certainly. Offensive players in general, 23 offensive players, an NFL draft record in the first round. Offensive line, certainly part of that flavor. But wide receiver also here.
Right.
Marvin Harrison Jr., the first off the board, no surprise to most everyone involved with the Arizona Cardinals, as you mentioned. But as we went along down here, Dad, Malik Nabers to the New York Giants, giving Daniel Jones a downfield weapon there, and then Rome Odunze to the Bears that we talked about. So the big three going about what we expected for all those guys.
Yeah, overall, you mentioned 23 offensive players, 6 quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers, 9 offensive linemen. But we knew that wide receiver group was deep. And as the draft goes on, remember, the draft to me can be defined by that second round to seventh round.
Sure.
Jimmy Johnson was one of the best at finding gems in that third, fourth, and fifth round. And that's where you really make your draft, because that first round is normally just one player. You want that to be an impactful player, but now you start to load up on the rest of your draft picks. And that, to me, as I go out and call games and look at rosters, it's always interesting to see how many from the rookie draft class not only made the team but are contributing to that team. And these wide receivers, we have seen this position make a move in the last few years where they would come in as rookies and not be that, you know, not give that, not contribute that much. And that's changed. These guys come in and are stars right out of the gate. And these first three guys, pick your poison on either one of these three. I think they're all going to excel.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky, I thought, brought this up the other day, because when that graph came out of the hit rate of different positions in the first round over the last 20 years from 2000 to 2019, wide receiver was a really low hit rate.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think the change reflected in the last 3 or 4 years where you're starting to see the net effect of a 7-on-7 driven high school football culture into spread offenses in college, and now an NFL that's meeting more of these guys halfway. Wide receivers transition has become what running back used to be, where these guys were much easier to plug and play on day one, which does make it interesting, Claudia, as we talk about wide receiver in the draft. It's hard to avoid what the Philadelphia Eagles did, making a headline with A.J. Brown on draft weekend. Once again, this time, another extension for this Eagles core of players this offseason.
Where are they finding all this money, by the way?
Yeah.
3-year, $96 million extension, 84 guaranteed, the most guaranteed money in NFL history for a wide receiver. Now, this comes just after Amon-Ra St. Brown got $77 million from the Lions. We were saying that was the most. That didn't last long. Brown, just 26, senior, you mentioned it. He seems a lot older than
really
that.
He really does.
He's young, and now he's getting paid, coming off a career-high 106 receptions, almost 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns last season. And I guess it only gets better from here, right?
Well, listen, a lot of people were saying when Devonta Smith signed that A.J. might be on the block. I never bought into that. And the reason I didn't is because what's one of the reasons you have to start bailing on players? It's when your quarterback, you have to pay him and he has a big hit. Jalen Hurts got that $255 million deal, but his cap hit this year isn't bad. Next year, it's still only $21 million. It doesn't get to be a bad amount for a couple of years. So they can live on this, because these two receivers aren't the only two they have signed. A lot of the left tackle they signed as well.
Landon Dickerson, they signed to top money.
All to like mostly three-year deals. I think one
Landon's was four.
Four-year deal.
But everyone else, you're right.
But they're putting some money out there. But again, Jalen Hurts is not hurting them too much in that cap space, so they have room to do this.
Dallas Cowboys fans have to be just punching air furiously, looking over at Howie Roseman and the notion that, wait a minute, you can carefully plan financially by getting ahead of these contracts and identifying players that you like and are talented and have performed and getting them under contract before the rest of the leaves fall, as Jerry Jones. Like, what the hell is he talking about?
I always go back. Andrew Brandt, who I think does a fantastic job of the business side of the NFL, used to be with the Green Bay Packers in that management group. he had always said he hates to hear when people talk about teams, oh, they have trouble with their cap, they're in cap hell or whatever. He said, no, he said, that shouldn't happen. You have a capologist, you have people that should be able to project over the years so you don't get yourself into cap trouble, into dead cap money trouble. And look what the Eagles are doing right now. And Jerry Jones' comment is, why haven't you signed, you know, guys like CeeDee Lamb and redone Dak Prescott? I'm waiting for more leaves to fall.
Yeah, I want to see more of these big money deals come out.
Seriously?
So the price continues to increase. And eventually, then I can look at my fan base and go, well, these guys cost too much money. We can't possibly keep all of them. And so now I get the excuse to do what I wanted to do all along.
I'm amazed at that. For a team that's won at least 12 games in the last 3 years.
I mean, the quotes from the Cowboys, because you're right. They've won 12 games each of the last 3 years. They make the playoffs, but they lose there every year. And yeah. Stephen Jones goes, well, we won the offseason last year, and look what it got us. So that's a reason to not do anything ever again in the offseasons here now. Do like the Tyler Guyton pick, not an offensive lineman. I think most teams could have gotten away with taking
there,
but
right.
because of their history of developing incredibly talented players, actually a pretty decent pick, and they got to move back and pick up some capital and do it, but still incredibly frustrating to watch your chief division rival go out and continue to just make the deals that the Cowboys absolutely refuse to do. We'll take a look back at night one and look forward at the rest of the weekend with ESPN's draft analyst Matt Miller next. I want to talk about Jägermeister. Dad, what do you know about Jägermeister?
I mean, well, really, all I know, it's got a really awesome Stag logo. What else do I need to know about Jägermeister?
Well, you should know that you've been drinking it all wrong this entire time.
Damn, that's cold. There's a right and wrong way to drink it?
Yes, there is, Dad. You should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact.
Well, you know what? That explains a lot. I've just been pulling it straight off the shelf.
Oh, Dad, I'm so glad I got to you in time. No, that is entirely wrong. The only way to serve Jägermeister is ice cold. So wherever you're at, if you're hanging out with friends or you're at the bar or you're helping your dear sweet father try and get right, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York. All right, welcome back to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Claudia Bellafato. Night one of the NFL draft in the books right now. We've got plenty to react to still, and a full weekend full of other picks that, to Dad's point, are going to round out in many ways define the rosters around the NFL. So for more on that, we're pumped to welcome in ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider Matt Miller. Matt's going to be a part of the Saturday broadcast for rounds 4 through 7 on ESPN and ABC starting at noon Eastern. So obviously got a full and busy weekend coming up still, Matt, but thanks for joining us today. And a chalky first round in some ways, a busy first round in others. What was the biggest headline for you coming out of round one of the draft?
Guys, it has to be the Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall. And not only is that the biggest headline, but I think it's the biggest, like, oh my God, what are they doing moment. And, you know, rarely do we get those in the first round anymore because there are so many of us who cover the NFL draft. It's become such a huge industry. I mean, it's a, you know, 250,000 people are in downtown Detroit last night watching the draft. It's a huge thing, right? So because of that, there's a lot more information that's known. We just don't get the surprise picks anymore. That floored me. And I want to give credit. My coworker, Jeremy Fowler, we were on the phone together like a week ago, and he was like, hey, I'm hearing the Falcons like Penix. What do you think about that? And I was like, smokescreen, there's no way. So Fowler, you were right. My bad. I steered you wrong on that one, buddy. But that is by far, you know, I mean, out, like you said, very chalky in the top 7. And then I felt like all hell broke loose after that.
Yeah, again, Terry Fontenot, the GM for Atlanta, kind of living the Green Bay way here of Aaron, you know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. But both those times, the quarterbacks were picked in the 20s, not 8, not number 8 overall. Yeah. So there was that one, and then Denver taking Bo Nix. How much was that a reach, or they really believe that that guy should be the 12th pick in the draft?
I think it was a reach on value. And, you know, like we get into this, like I had him ranked at 39 overall. That is probably not factoring in positional value as much as, you know, NFL teams will do it. But I also think, like, and here's the interesting thing about the draft, where if we had more than 10 minutes per pick, we would be able to dive into this more, right? It's like, yes, he was a reach on value, but we had just seen five quarterbacks go in the first 10 picks. And so they were really at a point of, they backed themselves into a corner this year because they have Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci as their quarterback room. Free agency is gone. The trade market is gone. So they were backed into such a corner that, yeah, it's a reach, but what else were you going to do? You know, you really couldn't sit and wait, because I think the Raiders probably would have taken Bo Nix at 13 because they were in a similar situation of, they let everyone know they liked Michael Penix and he was never going to make it to them at 13 because of that. So I think that's for Denver, we could look at the big boards and say, oh my God, that was a reach. But history has to remind us, like, when we reevaluate this draft, that, hey, there were no quarterbacks on the board and someone was going to take him right after them. So even the trade back option, would have loved to have traded back. But as soon as those guys all went off the board in the top 10, you knew that there was no trade back opportunity anymore.
You mentioned the team left holding the bag, the Las Vegas Raiders, right after that. Take Brock Bowers and had Michael Mayer selected early in the draft last year. Yep. The quarterback room there, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew now. What did you make of that, where Brock Bowers finally came off the board?
The Raiders need to send the Falcons like a fruit basket, because they got them off the hook. Because I swear, all we would be talking about today is, you drafted the number one tight end. Michael Mayer is my number one tight end last year, not just appealing to the Notre Dame crowd here. I loved him, and he's a great player. And now you turn around and draft another really good tight end. Now, they are different types of players. Mayer's going to be more in line. Brock Bowers is basically a slot receiver. And I think that's how you almost have to frame this. But it was shocking. They need help on defense. They need another defensive end opposite Max Crosby. They need corners badly. Every corner in the draft. Hell, every defensive player in the draft was sitting there waiting for you to take them. So I think that's where, with the Raiders, you could say, hey, best player available, and believe that, because he was the best player available at that spot. But you're ignoring all your needs on defense. And I know, like, you know, Green Bay and Buffalo have made the two tight end set in vogue again. You know, a lot of teams are going that way. But when you don't have a quarterback to get them the ball, it feels more like a luxury pick than smart team building.
I agree. I never bought into the best player available no matter what. I'd be like, yes, matter what. If I'm set at that position, I'm going to look somewhere else. So now we look second round to seventh round. Now teams try, and if a guy has a second round grade, they try and get him at the end of the second round or the third round. They try and grab the value out of it. So who are some of the guys that we're going to see in the next couple of days where you say, okay, this team can hit a home run with them?
Yeah, it's so important. You know, we over-evaluate the first round and probably under-evaluate rounds 2 through 7. That's just the nature of the business. But I look at, there's still some really good wide receivers on the board, even though 7 went last night. Adonai Mitchell from Texas is still out there. Keon Coleman from Florida State. Ladd McConkey from Georgia. Like, these are wide receivers who are going to be big-time impact players. The Buffalo Bills could get one, like, at 33. I think you have to, given their offseason. So we'll see those guys fly off the board. You know, we didn't see a linebacker selected. There's a lot of good ones out there. We didn't see any safety selected. And we only saw one defensive tackle, Byron Murphy from Texas. There's still really good defensive tackle play. All the running backs are available. I would think Jonathan Brooks from Texas is going to go pretty early tonight. Did you guys see the Cowboys? Like, I think it was this morning or last night. They're just raving about Jonathan Brooks. It's like, yo, he's still on the board. Like, you might not want to let everyone know how much you love Jonathan Brooks, because they can still draft him. There's not a dibs, you know, situation in the NFL draft. So, but yeah, there's so many good players. I think this year, you know, there's a sharp drop off because of, it's a shallow pool because of that 2020 COVID year eligibility. I couldn't find 500 draftable players this year. It's just, there wasn't that much talent. Next year, there's going to be like 1,000. Literally, there's going to be so many next year. So if you're a team like Chicago, where you don't have late round picks this year, you're okay. Like, you're in a pretty good spot. This was not the year to load up on 6th and 7th round picks because you think you're going to find, you know, steals at that point. This year, round 6 and 7 are more priority free agent type guys.
You mentioned a shallow pool, a lot of quality beef available early in this draft. We saw a massive run on offensive players in general, but certainly offensive linemen as well. 9 go in the first round, Matt. Who had your favorite fit of offensive linemen married with new team?
Man, I think it's Joe Alt. And I love that the Chargers didn't overthink this, that they just said, hey, like, we've seen the J.C. Latham buzz. We've seen the wide receiver buzz. The J.J. McCarthy odds got crazy there for a minute. But they took the best offensive lineman in the draft. And I had a conversation with a Chargers official at one of the pro days I was at about Joe Alt. I was like, I mean, I love Joe Alt for you guys, but what do you do with them? And they said, Rashawn Slater can play right tackle. And that floored me. I'm like, wait, no. Rashawn Slater's a really good left tackle, but they do believe that both these guys have the flexibility to play on either side. Slater's entering a contract year. You know, he kind of took a step back last season. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, is this a move to balance the offensive line, or is this a move to kind of refresh what they're doing at left tackle? But I think Alt is a fantastic player. I didn't dislike any of the O-line fits, though. I thought the Jets did a good job getting Fashanu, and again, like, not overthinking it. I saw so many mock drafts of teams overthinking it. If I had to say one, I don't love J.C. Latham, and especially for Tennessee, I don't think he's a left tackle at all. I never saw that from his tape. He's heavy. He had 18 penalties. Now, Bill Callahan is a better offensive line evaluator than I will ever be, and so I tend to trust that because I really trust Bill Callahan, but that was the biggest head scratcher for me up front, at least.
Yeah, I think that's one Tennessee had been bracing with all of the J.C. Latham to Chargers news to have Joe Alt fall down to them. And so certainly a little bit of shock this morning. But like you said, Bill Callahan gets the benefit of the doubt from a lot of us, even if that one might not seem like the most seamless fit right off the bat. Matt, we know you got a busy weekend coming up here, man. Best of luck. We're looking forward to watching you, especially as the later rounds get going here in the draft and the real value shines through. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. He does the professional thing, too, because we've all done shows from the hotel room. He makes the bed behind him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's always hit or miss. I usually just try and get it out of the shot because making a hotel bed is just a bridge too far for me. I can't do that.
But sometimes that's the only shot you can have. The bed's going to be in it, so you gotta make it look pretty good.
It's just hard because they really tuck the sheets
they really
so
do.
Tight.
That's like, the first thing I do is I kick the sheets out. Yeah,
you got to. Yeah. Claudia, yeah.
You can break a toe doing that.
You can.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Do you kick sheets out or you leave them tucked in?
I do. No, I kick them out.
Kick them out? Yeah.
I don't know how people sleep all burritoed in.
I know,
like
can't
that.
Do it.
It's
can't
like
do
babies.
It.
They have to sleep in all those sleep sacks now. It's terrifying.
Need freedom to move.
Freedom to move. Coming up next, we will finally free the takes. Our time capsule from before the draft.
Wine box.
Containing all of the mysteries of the universe will be unsealed and revealed next here on Gojo and Golic.
Wine box.
I hate you.
All right.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And now that the Boston Celtics have slayed the boogeyman in the Miami Heat, Boston fans, we feel a little bit more confident about the situation. You can decide right now, and if you're new to DraftKings, you can also check this out. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code GOJO. That's code GOJO for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The NFL draft is a few weeks away, but instead of just giving takes on what we think is going to happen, we're going to take this real serious, okay? This is a time capsule.
Yeah.
The time capsule, Claudia, looks like you got a bottle of wine from somebody in that box. You just slid the top off, took the wine out, and put our picks in that wine box.
It might be a wine box, but it's our time capsule.
That's a wine box. That's a wine box.
Why can't you suspend disbelief right now? You're trying to degrade it. You're trying to take it down a notch. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. You bury that wood in a time capsule and leave it there for any amount of time, it's going to disintegrate, and everything in it's going to disintegrate.
Yeah, you thought we were going to really bury our time capsule.
That's what you do with a time capsule.
Is that what you did with any of the time capsules that we made when I was in elementary school?
Yes. They're in the backyard. They're buried in the backyard.
You're lying to
a hamster and, you know, some
some of the other pets we had.
The hamster's in the lake. You threw that into the water.
Well, we had it's true. That was growing up at my house in Cleveland. We had a hamster that we buried in the backyard. Chips was his name.
Rest in peace, Chips.
Yeah.
And rest in peace, Zippity, who was unceremoniously thrown into the water after my brother might have accidentally murdered him. It was a whole thing. It wasn't a great period for us.
Wow.
So we didn't discuss any of the takes in that clip. We just talked about hamsters dying.
Yeah.
But we do have all of those takes right here. And I'll give you that again. I'm going to go one by one, guys.
All right.
See how many you got right. Okay. Cash or Trash It, presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned to hear everything DraftKings has to offer. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Void or prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. We have to get that through.
Yeah, okay. We do.
Yes, we do.
Now we can go one by one.
Okay.
I was waiting for the graphic. There was no graphic.
Yeah, you know.
We got it. Wide receivers.
Mm.
Okay. Gojo. Oh. Marvin Harrison Jr., Adunze, Neighbors, Mitchell, Thomas.
All right, so yeah, I got those pretty damn wrong.
You were pretty wrong.
Damn, I mean, I was close.
Senior had Caleb, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Penix. So just flipped.
Oh, no. We're at wide receivers.
Sorry.
Wide receivers.
So you had Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Adunze, Brian Thomas.
I got the first four right.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Eddie Mitchell, you got the wrong Texas wide receiver.
I did. It was Xavier Worthy, who was the fifth one. I was close on that one.
You were pretty close on that one.
I mean, I'll take partial credit. For sure.
Listen, I know this wasn't part of our box thing here, but I did get the order of four linemen that I ranked right going into this draft instead of wide receivers. So
we didn't do linemen. Well, no, it doesn't.
I'm just giving myself
partial
credit.
That's not in the wine box / time capsule.
Went back and found a tweet March 3rd. I said it'd be all Olufoshanu, Talisi Fuanga, and Troy Fautanu.
We didn't do offensive linemen, so your comments are void.
I just wanted to distract you from how wrong
Claudia,
I was there.
Please move on, and let's turn his mic off.
No offensive line.
Claudia, I was closest on that one. What's next?
We're going to go quarterbacks because that's the one I just read off. Gojo, you had Williams, May, Daniels, McCarthy, Rattler.
Rattler, yeah. A little reach on that one.
What did I have?
You had Caleb, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Penix.
Hmm.
So
just missed those.
We're close, yeah.
Again, the closest one. My partial credit score is off the charts right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I could read mock drafts off the internet too.
Oh, see, here you go.
You know,
when you
just,
don't
you,
get it
you
right,
co- you copy
you know
the
what
work
you do?
From the internet.
You start
I
to get a little
took this
sour.
Risk. Get
a little
risk.
It's not about taking risks. It's about getting it right.
Stood on business.
People
no, I'm a
say,
man of principle.
When I pick Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, they're like, oh, way to go out on a limb. I'm like, I'm asked to pick a Super Bowl champ, not
City
go out
Super
on
Bowl.
A limb.
I pick Kansas City.
So I was the closest.
I had the right Super Bowl.
Yet again, would you say, Claudia, right now, wide receivers running quarterbacks, I am dominating.
Yes. And
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You had a lot of takes yesterday in general that hit, so...
Wow.
Joe, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Hey, listen, that's fine. I caught Troy Fautanu to Marquise Pouncey, and then the Steelers drafted him now.
Again, with the line.
Juwan, again.
Jeez.
Well, here's what both got wrong. So there's that. We can even it out. First defensive player off the board. You both said Bama Edge, Dallas Turner.
We did.
But 2 days ago when we talked about this, I said I would take Leatu Latu first of those edge rushers, and lo and behold, the Colts did that. I'm never afraid to learn and admit when I was wrong.
What's in the time capsule? Dallas Turner, right?
Dallas Turner.
So you're wrong.
I was wrong then, but
we
2 days ago,
it
I was right.
You're wrong. In the time capsule, you are a horrific 0 for 3.
That was
I am
from a long time ago. I have displayed growth here. You want to live in the past right now.
Claudia, you're the arbiter here. He was wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
you're wrong.
Thank you.
The reason I was so confused is because I wrote separate. This is why the cards are tough. Like, I did your quarterbacks on one card, and then your receivers on one card.
I bet you'd rather
if you see me hiding cards, I'm not cheating. I
bet you'd rather there really be a bottle of wine in that box.
Honestly, it's Friday, right?
Yeah,
I'm a little tired.
Careers, man.
Yes.
We should be drunk.
Okay, first team to trade up or down. You both said Vikings.
We got
and they
that
ended
right?
up doing it twice. So they were first 11-10 and then went 23-17.
There you go. All right.
Boom.
You got to finally feel good. You finally lucked out into one.
I said that before you.
I was
going to
say, I think
answer.
I said it first.
No,
pull
no
the
chance.
Tape. I think I said it first and you copied me.
No, it's ridiculous.
Whatever.
You're embarrassing yourself.
All right. Whatever. What's next?
See, I have two. I don't know why I did it this way. Would there be a running back drafted in the first round?
I said no way. Yeah,
we both said.
Why did you gotta say it first?
Okay,
we both said this.
Why can't we both get credit for it?
Okay. Right now, my hit percentage
is unbelievable.
And yeah, see, okay, that's it. I'm like, there seemed to be a lot more cards, but we got through it all. First defensive player, running back drafted, first team. Receivers and quarterbacks. So we hit them all.
So,
and senior one.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask.
This was a very complex way to do this. I feel like it could have been more structured. So we put it, could have done some tallies.
It was kind of off the cuff.
Listen,
it was.
Could we have planned this out better? Yes.
100%.
Would that have been in the spirit of the show? Absolutely not.
But just so it's official, let's let Claudia have the mic to herself. Who was the winner?
Senior wins that one.
Thank you.
You see, she doesn't even want to give you credit because you're the winner on the planet.
Why is your age group sticking together here? I won.
No,
give the old man some credit.
The reason no one wants you to win is because you're a sore winner. You've been a sore winner since mini golf when I was 12 years old.
Listen,
ask everyone in my family, and nobody wanted to ever see you win there because when you do it, you peacock all over the place.
One person. Threw the putter into the river. Was it me or you?
Being a sore winner. That's taking competition seriously.
That's being a sore loser.
Yes,
which
exactly.
You are horrible.
Would
at.
Always rather be a sore loser.
I tried to build you guys to have some mental toughness, and you folded like a cheap tent.
No, you were look at me, Louie.
No.
Look at me, Louie, dancing in front of
everybody.
You know
what? You know what I wanted to be as a role model? I wanted you guys to say, I want to be a winner like Dad. That's all I wanted. I want what's best for my children.
No, that's great. I'm just here to tell you.
Yeah.
You failed miserably.
Okay.
So, he's good job, good effort. Okay.
But he won the wine box competition.
Thank you.
Again,
thank you.
We did the piece from Emerson. There are no winners or losers in the draft. We don't keep score out here.
It's
just a vibes-based economy.
Oh, we kept score, and I won.
I tell you what, man. I feel good about the way I evaluated this offensive line class, man. Top to bottom. I mean, just a really great group when you look at this one. We talked about it already. Our boy Joe Wall, J.C. Latham, that'll be interesting with them, but Olu Fashanu out of Penn State going to the New York Jets, I love them taking all line there instead of going tight end. Dad, would have been a reach with Brock Bowers a little bit there. You keep going down, Talisi Fuanga out of Oregon State, going to Saints, big need an offensive line. They had to make this happen here. Amarius Mims, how about this tackle group for the Cincinnati Bengals? You already had Orlando Brown. Then you bring in Trent Brown. And now you take Amarius Mims, a 340-pound Adonis out of Georgia. That might be the heaviest offensive tackle group in history, right? Top to bottom, you agree, right? Totally. Troy Fautanu going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Position versatility, let him play center. I think he'd be really good at center. You agree with that, right? I totally think so, too. You keep going out, Jordan Morgan. Going to the Green Bay Packers. Position versatility. Graham Barton sneaking all the way down to the
sure
Tampa
there's
Bay.
There's no line in here.
I promise. I looked.
Three words.
Tyler Guyton.
I don't care.
They develop really you well there in Dallas. Well-earned reputation.
I'm just going to say it now. I don't give a damn about the offensive line. Okay?
Oh, man.
Bunch of holders out there. Bunch of cheaters. Okay? Congrats to all that are getting drafted. Do your thing. But I never liked O-linemen, never have, never will. You played on the wrong side of the ball.
Your brother played
on the wrong side of the ball. He's a tight end, but at least it's a skill position, so I give him credit for that. I hate O-linemen. There, I said it.
You know who likes O-linemen a lot more than they like D-linemen? The first round of this NFL draft. How about that? You putts.
I got to be a putts now?
You putts.
You're right about that comment, but I don't know I have to be a putt.
They should change the name of this shop from Mighty Sharp to the Three Putzes.
I won.
All right, guys, time to finish off the show and the week the way we always do. This, that, and the third. Three quick stories. Send you off into the weekend, the rest of the NFL draft, more NBA playoffs. As always, you can make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us. Leave us a 5-star rating. Check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network. You can catch the best of Gojo and Golic and all our first-round NFL draft reaction wherever you hear VEASAN on the radio from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. And if you missed that or any of our wonderful guests live, shout out to our bud Carmen Vitale, NFC North reporter over at Fox Sports, and ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller for stopping by and helping break this down. If you missed that, you can catch them wherever you get your podcasts or right here on YouTube as soon as we get done.
I look forward to the next couple days. I have an affinity toward later drafted guys, me being a 10th rounder, you being an undrafted guy, to see though where you hit those. That, and that, to me, really tells a lot about an organization and how they judge a player and rate a player when you can get that third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder and have them contribute.
Well, these were also the draft broadcasts where you really shined, where you'd be throwing donuts into crowds of onlookers.
Yes, yes. This is back when I was a little more big-boned. Usually feasted on cookies and donuts. And the second and third day, the crowd gets raucous.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try and keep the hounds at bay by throwing them donuts and cookies and became a fan favorite, which you throw food at me, I'm going to love you.
So, hey, win the crowd, win your freedom, boom. Win draft fame forever.
Are you not entertained?
Is this not why you are here?
Yep.
To have sugary treats thrown all over you. Let's get to that in part in this, that, and the third,
uh-huh.
The great scene that we saw last night. But let's start off with this one right here. Of shocking picks in the first round, we didn't talk about the San Francisco 49ers at the end of the first round,
yep.
Taking Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall, yeah.
And amidst a sea of headlines surrounding their top wide receivers going into draft night, where there were reports coming out that apparently the 49ers have been looking to trade up in this draft, and
right.
One of the things that they were angling was the potential of either of their star receivers in Brandon Ayuk, who is seeking a contract
right.
extension right now, or Deebo Samuel, which made this moment after the draft
yes.
pretty interesting, where they draft Ricky Pearsall, former teammate at Arizona
yeah.
State,
how about that?
Of Brandon
yeah.
Ayuk,
yeah.
which is wild to think
that
about
really
how long
is.
These guys have been in college. But according to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk actually texted GM John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan after that selection and said, fire pick, can't lie. So maybe not ruffling many feathers just because it was a guy he knew.
So cool tweet, and again, they were teammates, but I would like to know the reaction of Lynch and Shanahan when the text popped up.
Yes.
And you didn't see the message,
yeah.
You just thought it was from Brandon Ayuk. You had to be going, uh-oh, okay, what's he going to say? He's talking about a trade. We just drafted a wide receiver. I bet they were a little hesitant hitting that one. And then
yeah.
we're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
That's a good way
yeah.
to, like, Miyagi the pick
yeah,
in there.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, no, this is your friend. We're bringing in a guy
yeah,
you like
yeah.
here, even though it does seem like, Dad, in the game of wide receiver musical chairs there, this is probably something to read into. We saw the other day Andrew Whitworth did a podcast talking about when he was with the Bengals
right.
in a contract
right.
here. They draft a guy in the first round and the second round at his position. Kind of sends
well,
a message that there's at least the thought that you might not be here for the long
much
haul.
Much like we talk about in Cincinnati, you had to pay Burrow, to pay Chase, to pay T. Higgins. We saw they obviously franchise tagged him. That's three guys. We always talk about the plethora of talent.
Yeah.
Now, McCaffrey had a deal, but Purdy's going to come up.
Yep.
Obviously, you have Kittle there as well. You have Deebo. You have Ayuk. So there is a thought process that you can't pay them all for the services that they've rendered. They deserve big deals, but it would be tough to do, though the Eagles are showing that you can do it.
Yeah, I can say Brandon Ayuk's like,
yeah.
what are you talking about? You
yeah.
can pay everybody
exactly
here. Howie
right.
Roseman does it every
yeah.
offseason.
Exactly.
So we'll wait and see.
All the other GMs are ticked at Howie Roseman.
I was
Roseman
just going to say ever. That. They're like, why you got to do that,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, exactly. Make us look
Pinkman.
Bad.
He can't keep getting away with this. And yet he does. Claudia, let's get to that. We talked a lot about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back the other day. We finally heard from the man and apparently his continued pursuit of justice.
Yes, yeah, so separate, right? The Heisman Trust gave
right.
him the Heisman back, and we talked about that was separate from the NCAA, who he is still suing for defamation.
I'm just so thankful I can stand here in front of you guys today, proud, because I did it the right way. I never once cheated this game, ever. Yesterday felt like game day for me when I went to get that trophy, I promise you. I was hyped up. I was ready to run down the football field. I was waiting for a punt or something to come down. I was excited, man, and you know, my wife will tell you, I got the chills all over again.
And it must be exhausting, too, being one of the best college players of all time, having to go through all this to clear your name.
Didn't hear a word he said. I was looking at the dude with the cowboy.
Okay, yeah.
Who the hell's that guy?
We need to talk about this dude here. I pray, so he's still suing the NCAA for
right.
defamation
yeah.
after everything that had gone down with his character and the way he'd been talked about
And he
here.
Didn't cheat on the field. That is true.
Yeah.
He
right.
broke the rules, the NCAA rules. He did do that, but he certainly didn't cheat on the field. And NCAA, it's ridiculous for some of the things they do.
I can only pray. And if you didn't see the video of that, please go to watch that.
Who is he?
The hoss wearing the cowboy
hat. Who is he?
If that man is on his legal team,
yeah.
Reggie is winning
Absolutely
every ounce
right.
of this lawsuit. That looks
Need
like a
know.
Man.
Need to know who he is.
Oh.
All that's missing is a stogie. Stogie, him having a big old cigar in his mouth.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's got spurs on his cowboy boots below the frame there where we can see.
We don't see his hands. We don't see his hands. He's holding a bottle of whiskey.
Bottle of whiskey, or there's like the trigger right in the hip there pocket. He's got the gun holster right there.
The
holster, he looks like a full-blown cowboy.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, my
Straight
God.
Straight out of Yellowstone.
Wow. I need to know everything about who that man is because he just took over. I mean, he's standing next to the actual Heisman Trophy winner from 2005, Reggie Bush, and don't you all forget it, and the Heisman Trophy itself, and somehow became the star of that frame.
I'll listen to that online at some point because I don't know what Reggie said. I was just too mesmerized by that dude.
We're all still thrilled. That Reggie,
it's great if you can look good in a cowboy hat. How great that would be
to be able to wear a cowboy hat unironically, and have it everyone just go, "Oh yeah, this
makes
sense."
I'm telling you, one of the best looking guys in a cowboy hat is a guy. Whenever I see him, whenever I saw him over the years, I thought, "This dude could still play." By the way, Mel Blunt, the former safety of the Steelers, that dude was. I mean, he could have played for decades the way he looked. And, man, did he look the part in a cowboy hat as well.
So Mel Blunt still lives around the area in Pittsburgh. And when I went out there as a rookie, you went to rookie camp. You're out there for the offseason program. Mel Blunt invites, I don't know if he still does this or not, but back in 2013, invited all the rookies over to his ranch.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a ropes course there.
It's incredible.
And horses and all this stuff. And he walks up, and it's this 6'4 dude with the cowboy hat boots on just looking at you. Like you said, that guy coming downhill
coming
the way of the wood is terrifying.
Somebody, I mean, wow, he was terrifying, obviously, when he played.
Yeah, no, can't imagine.
Man, that dude pulls off cowboy hat, too.
Don't get mad at me for saying this, but the facial hair, I just feel like maybe you could rock a cowboy hat. The two together work.
Boom,
and for some reason, yeah.
I mean, it would cover up. I need a hat,
You need
too.
Some kind of hat.
That's Levi G. McCathern II. Partner, so it is part of his legal team.
Okay, all right.
Win this, baby.
All right.
Enjoy whatever you get in return for this defamation suit.
I gotta know, does he have a commercial?
Oh, God.
Does he have a commercial out there?
Oh, my God. We need this. At Gojo and Golic on Twitter, if you can find a commercial for McCathern, Shokoe, and Evans, the law firm there. 25 years going strong at that partnership. We'll find the answer to that.
Wow.
Claudia, let's get to the third. If we're going to celebrate this hoss, we need to also take time to celebrate the city of Detroit that showed up and showed out for night one of the NFL draft.
Yes, the Big D showed up. And I hate how they call it that.
I don't think they call it that. No. They call
yes,
Dallas?
They do.
Dude, that was all Roger.
They call it.
Eminem had, though. That was the thing there.
It was
supposedly.
Yeah. But it's fine. A lot of people showed up. All-time day one record for day one of the draft. More than 275,000 fans in attendance. Dan Campbell, fortune teller, was there. The outfits that people have, just where do you think of this?
They had a Zoltar Dan Campbell.
Yes.
That was one of the coolest things I saw, Zoltar Dan Campbell. And this is, without question, one of the great moves the NFL has done. Because it had been in New York forever. But now, I mean, taking this on the road, moving it around, has been nothing but a smash hit wherever it's gone.
It was awesome. We were in 2019 in Nashville when the previous record had been set for this. And seeing that sea of humanity, to watch roster transactions, there was no action. There's not real games here. And yet the fan bases in the NFL,
incredible.
And certainly here, the city of Detroit, that's enjoyed a renaissance for its team under Dan Campbell, and now has had this reward of the NFL draft there, absolutely left their mark on night one. And that weekend is just getting started here. We're just finishing up. If you enjoyed it, download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a 5-star rating. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the NFL draft. We'll talk to you Monday.
Break open the box of wine.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.